Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody said to me, I saw you dancing a little bit. I said, I know, but I got too much cracker in me. I got my Haitian grandson. If we had JoJo here, he could tear the floss up. He'd tear the floss up, wouldn't he? He'd have us all doing the floss. Hallelujah. There is a earring. There you go, bro. That's what I'm talking about. Someone found an earring that a lady. It belongs to Jamie. Jamie, come on. The price is right. Come on down, Jamie. Hallelujah. That was my mom's earring. Oh, wow. My mom had a bunch of jewelry that Candy was able to distribute after her homegoing. Hallelujah. I'm just relieved it was a woman's earring. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to be short on this exhortation. I'm going to exhort you over the offering. We welcome all those that are watching. Bless you. And tonight, as we take up, receive this offering, please consider being a part of it at some point. Hallelujah. We're having a great time here in Dayton. I can't believe it's almost over. Isn't that amazing? It just goes by so fast. I am going to read out of John chapter 6, verse 1, following down 13 verses, but I'll read them kind of swiftly here. I want to really do this kind of quickly because we've got a handsome young man that's coming tonight that you're really going to enjoy. Gary Carpenter's coming to teach for us. This particular miracle is in all four Gospels. It's one of the few that's in all four Gospels. But it's familiar to all of us. And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain and there sat with his disciples. And the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him, and he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, and the number was about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples then to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they had filled, and when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Amen. So we'll just stop right there. As I said, this particular miracle, of course, is recorded in all four Gospels. But one thing about John's Gospel that's mentioned here that's different than the other Gospels is that last part there, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And of course, in all the other Gospels, it does record that they gathered up the fragments. It just doesn't have the phrase there that nothing be lost. And even in the other two Gospels that record the feeding of the 4,000, it is also recorded that they gather up the fragments, but doesn't have the wording here that none be lost. But I would assume, or I would believe, that the same understanding was given to the disciples in those particular with the 4,000, just as it was with the 5,000. And John renders something here that's very, very important to this short exhortation is that when Jesus fed these people, that at the end of it, of course, as we just read, he said, gather up what's left over, that nothing be lost. And of course, as we just read, there were the fragments was 12 baskets full. Now, some people, some ministers, and we've all kind of tried to think, the word doesn't really tell us what did he do with the 12 baskets. I don't have word on this. I just have the presidents of who Jesus was my feeling, somebody said, well, the 12 apostles took them. Well, then what do you do with the 7 baskets? Because somebody got, you know, shorted there. So that theory doesn't work out. But greater than that is that the provider that provided all this, I'm sure he was not concerned and told the apostles, you know, we need to pick up all this because we need to make sure that we have provisions over the next several days. I can just see the apostles walking across the mountains like little ducks behind, you know, mother duck with all these big baskets with food, like, we need this. That's just not the case. I mean, the one that provided it wasn't concerned about having provisions over the next several days. What I do believe is this, and I don't have word on it, but I can see Jesus doing this. Take, he would say to John or Philip or Peter, take that basket, run over there before they get gone to that widow and tell them compliments of Jesus. Make sure they go home with more than enough. Hallelujah. We know this. One time he was crossing the sea and he just made mention of he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Of course, he was talking about doctrine. They all, the disciples, just because he mentioned something about food, the disciples surmised, he's ticked at us because we didn't bring anything with us to eat. And, you know, if God or if Jesus had eye rolls, he would have rolled his eyes then. And he's like, fellas, he gave him remember when I fed the 5,000? Yes, sir. Remember when I fed the 4? Yes, sir. So he wasn't concerned. He wasn't concerned with having enough provision. But what he did say was this: take up the fragments that nothing be left over. Provision and supply starts in a place of stewardship in our life. I listened to a series years ago by the same handsome young man that's coming tonight to speak to us, Gary Carpenter, and it was on stewardship. In that series, and can't even begin to touch it, it's just so as far as my exhortation right now, but in that there was a lesson or maybe a few lessons on pound versus provision. The Lord touched my heart, and I took it seriously. Real quick, is the pound in your life is everything that you separate unto the Lord. That's His. Out of that pound, He provides a provision for your life by which you live by. And that's your supply. Listen, we've lived by, Candy and I have lived by that way. We did that years ago. I think one of the reasons why people never get around to it is because it takes a level of stewardship, just mathematics. You have to go into a place where you have to do the mathematics and say, what do I need to live with leftover? God's not a cheapo. And you shouldn't have to take out a loan if you have to, you know, fix the car or get a new washer or a new dryer. You should have leftover in that sense of the word. But anyway, we did that, and we found out what we needed, and the rest was God's. If you give $100,000 to our church, what does that mean to you? It means that next week I get the same paycheck that I got last week. That's what it means. Same here. These guys are saying the same here. That's why also, if I have $100,000 in the checking account, I can't write a $50 check to something or someone if the Holy Spirit is not in full agreement with it. That's stewardship. That's just stewardship. Well, stewardship and God's provision through the years, of course, as time has went on, I've needed to get raises. And I asked Gary way back years ago, and of course he did it in his teaching. How do you get raises? You just go to God and talk to Him. Ask Him for a raise. And as time and inflation has went on, I have gotten those raises. God is always, He's always provided. I've gotten those raises through the years for my provision. But it's been amazing to me. It's been indicative of the Holy Spirit that also while I was asking for raises and believing Him for it out, you know, for my provision, I would also hear Him start talking about the fragments in my life that were left over, that were being wasted, that I needed to pull it in, because He would often tell me, not in these exact terms, but in these certain terms, of course, in essence, son, there's 4 or 5 baskets that you're letting the birds or the fowl or just wasted. A lot of times we think provision is, I need to start confessing for more. That's the first place, but you have to burn the candle on both ends. You have to confess, believing to receive, and you also have to go to that end and say, what am I allowing to be wasted? Most, if not 99% of all Christians, when they're asking for more, have four or five baskets that are being wasted on a monthly basis because they're not being stewards of the money. Have you ever come to a place where you had $500, $600, $700 or $1,000 or whatever, and you turned around and you said, where did that go? I don't even know where that went. That's because a lot of times our focus is on the provision of getting more, and we don't have a consciousness. See, God is not cheap as in regards to provision, but he is very frugal when it comes to waste. He's very frugal. So we see both ends. We see Jesus providing, making the provision, but also saying, guys, don't let none of this go to waste. Listen, it's just like, I don't know what example would have fit your life. When your son has two really, really nice pair of, you know, $200 shoes, he doesn't need a third pair. He doesn't need a fourth pair. Well, Pastor, that's not your business. So I'm telling you, if you want to be a steward, there's a point in which enough is enough, and then there's waste, and yet you're saying, I really wish I had more to give to God. You've probably got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 baskets left over every month. You don't need more. Sometimes you need more. Put the two together. Get more, but conserve more, and it all goes together in provision. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.